Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
RandomChatter.com presents
Hydra's New World Order, Villarax.
Hail Hydra.
Perimeter Breach.
Agents of Hydra. Case File.
Authorizing. Access granted.
Hail Hydra.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of Hydra Case Files. I'm Agent Shepard.
And I'm Agent Stolte.
And you've been tasked to provide support on the most recent mission from Madam Hydra and her operatives presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of Hydra. Your compliance will be duly noted in your report. So, Josh, we are through the looking glass. We are in the framework this week. We are in this weird place with all these crazy characters, like, together. I believe it's called Orlando.
It's very unusual. I was a little bit disoriented at first because, number one, I can see you.
Yeah.
And also, I'm around a lot of different people that it doesn't seem like the real world.
It does not. I believe it's called Star Wars Celebration.
Oh.
So.
Oh.
That would probably be why.
That would explain that.
Yeah. Okay. So we are on our spring breakcation here, I guess.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. So we're enjoying some time in beautiful Florida, hanging out with tens of thousands of Star Wars fans at Star Wars Celebration. But no rest for the wicked, and Hydra demands our compliance. So,
of course,
we are mandated to continue putting this podcast out on a regular basis. So that's why we're here talking about the episode that was aired this week.
Well, and it's nice to actually record face to face with you. We don't get to do it very often. We've done it a few times, and it's always nice.
I'm just going to pretend I'm looking at the screen and not pay attention to you because you distract me.
Well, yes. Well, you know, at least I'm not recording in our typical fashion. I did wear pants.
I appreciate that very much.
You're welcome. No problem. It's a little uncomfortable, but I'll get through it. And
we're only going an hour.
I can handle it.
You can handle that. All right. So, but you did get a chance to see the episode this week.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, not going to miss that. This is very exciting stuff. I don't know if I'll be able to. I will definitely not be missing anything that is coming here in the next, we got 5 more episodes before the end of the season, I guess.
It's hard to believe after seeing this episode and wondering where they're going to, how they're going to get out of here in just 5 episodes. Going to be just nonstop till the end of the season. I don't think we're going to have a lot of time to take a breather episode, as they sometimes give us.
Oh, yeah, definitely not with this. This is going to be pretty tight. I think each week, though, what's going to happen is one character is going to be freed. Someone else is going to get captured and beaten, all up and stuff. And then, then the next week they rescue that person, but somebody else gets captured and kind of doing like musical chairs of beating in the Hydra location. Until we get down to, we have all of our characters, on this side of the river, and all the bad guys are on the other side of the river, and then they can just go home kind of thing.
So we have to figure out what combination and how many.
Yeah, how do you send someone over to bring someone back? Yeah. And there's math and stuff like that. Anyway, why don't you tell us about the episode that we watched this week?
All right, well, episode 17 of season 4 was called Identity and Change.
Right. So you got your identity and some change back.
That's right.
It's like it wasn't quite even,
no.
I guess. Right?
Well, I gave a little extra identity.
Uh-huh. So they gave you just back some change.
Some back, yeah. It aired April 11th, 2017, and was written by George Kitson, directed by Gary A. Brown. Well, last week when we left off the episode, that's when they were trying to convince everybody, especially Coulson. Well, now that Coulson is willing to believe Daisy and Simmons, they can work with S.H.I.E.L.D. to stop Hydra and get all their friends out of the framework. And now Simmons wants to contact Fitz.
Right.
As you can understand that, of course. she's lonely. It's been a while. And she's got to convince him that he's not the sadistic doctor that does Madam Hydra's bidding. Mm. That's a pretty challenging proposition, though. So.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, they also come across Jeffrey Mace.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of nice. That's when they contact the Resistance through Ward. He's leading S.H.I.E.L.D. in the fight, and he's also hiding in humans for protection.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Now, Mac turns up, too, this week.
Yeah, as we said, he would. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh, yep. And he's living somewhat happily with his daughter, Hope,
mm-hmm.
who is creative, intelligent, and cute as a darn button.
Yeah.
He's just a darling. But, they work really hard to stay off Hydra's radar. Really, it's more of a drone thing than a radar, but you get the general idea.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
Daisy knows that the only way out of this digital prison is to find Radcliffe. So she uses her influence and skills to find him through Hydra files. And she gets the information to Ward to take to Simmons, but she gets herself caught by May.
Mm.
Yeah, thanks to some very sinister manipulation of Mac and by using his daughter against him. Hate people do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm not supposed to say that. Sorry. I mean, yeah, hail Hydra.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Mace, he lets Simmons, Ward, and Coulson take an old Quinjet to Fantasy Island to get Radcliffe. But, when they get there, they discover that he and Agnes are basically prisoners.
Right.
And that's about the time Fitz and Madame Hydra show up. Yeah, things go pretty much downhill from there, and the team barely escapes with their life. But at least Mac shows up at S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters and's ready to atone for his actions. Now, everyone, quick, to the Master Control Program! Withdrawn!
No, that's...
Did I make cross-franchising?
I think you're messing up again on that.
I tend to do that, so...
That's okay. Yeah, there is some elements of Tron things, where the people inside the program in Tron, looked like the people on the outside, but they weren't, and they were different.
Yeah. Well, and I may be biased because I really like Tron, but I see a lot of that. In that every time I see a character, I guess, a individual inside the framework that we know is not someone plugged into it, that's just
right,
part
like of
the
Ward character.
Right. It reminds me of that they're just bits of information. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
But it's different. I mean, it's... Well, I don't know if it's different or not, but it feels different because it's almost like a form of artificial intelligence. It's complex ethical question about...
As I think we can discuss a little bit here, actually, I'm realizing I didn't put anything in here in the notes about Ada, but I do want to talk a little bit about her in a little bit. We don't necessarily have any news this week other than... They are, like we said, five more episodes. They're kind of going straight to the end of the season here.
Mm-hmm. The ratings are up a bit, which is good.
Yeah, you had some demographic information. I think you saw it was like it's up in the 18 to 49 year olds or something like that.
39 something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So highest ratings they've had since about January. So it sounds like word's getting out that the action is.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Actually, they took such a long break that I think maybe the word's just continuing to get out now that they're back, that
right.
this is a darn good show.
Well, and, we still may not know, by the time we end this season, we may not know if they're renewed.
We don't. I did see an article recently that said they're, the writers are planning for a season five. Mm-hmm. They have something in mind they would like to go on, but they still haven't got any confirmation that they will be back. So.
Right. Well, fingers crossed. Here,
but last week we were talking about how this would wrap up real well, and we don't know if they've even thought about that. But it does sound like now they are thinking about it, whether they've gone into the process of doing it or not. Or
right, and even if they decided that they wanted to end it, I don't know that they necessarily would tie everything up in a pretty bow.
Yeah, I hope not, because that always gives them an option of other possible...
And they can do a TV movie or
right,
whatever
right.
later, so...
Like they used to do with, $6 Million Man and Incredible Hulk.
And just keep doing those
Little
franchises.
Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah. Did they do Little House on the Prairie? They did movies for that, too?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
I don't
wow.
know, maybe not. Little House in the Framework, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, all right. Well, this week, let's welcome Mac to the Framework. So, he appears to be a single dad... likes to keep his head down, follow the rules and everything like that, which doesn't really strike me as the same kind of character that Mac is in the real world, I guess, by the fact that, Mac really seems to be a go-getter, but here he's a little more reserved, I guess.
Sure, but remember, that's how everybody is. Everybody is kind of opposite of what they are in the real world.
True.
So I think... Coulson is the least opposite of everybody that's in there that we've seen. But he's got that Tahiti connection that seems to be anchoring him a little bit to the real world.
Yeah, and that definitely has played a part in, I guess, him being able to break free from the framework. So we've teased a little bit, or on the show has teased a little bit about a character called Hope. Mac was looking at a photo at some point during the LMD arc. Like 4 or 5 episodes ago, right? It wasn't as far back as the Ghost Rider arc.
No, it wasn't. He was with Yo-Yo. It was the anniversary of either Hope's, I think it was Hope's death.
Yeah, where he and his wife would like celebrate, and he was really sad and stuff. But
right.
what we learned at that point was that Hope was a daughter that he had that had died young at some point. I can't remember how old she, but she was pretty little.
Yeah,
it wasn't as old as the character we see in the
No. I think she may have even been like a baby, even very old.
But what I was at least remembering and understanding from that part of the previous episode was that his wife was still around. Like this was something that because Hope had died, they split because there was, blame or something placed there.
Yeah, just the emotional tension that comes along with losing a child, probably.
Right.
But.
And so, but they still kind of like celebrated either her birthday or or the anniversary of her death or something like that. So in the framework now, we find out that Max kind of the same kind of guy. He's kind of a gearhead. Right. He teaches his daughter about motorcycles. You know, he's still big into that. He helps her build drones, very technically oriented and stuff like this. And then, of course, I have to keep reminding myself, it's not even really his daughter. Right. It's just like you said, it's a manifestation of the framework. So it's anything that he would hope she would be.
Yeah.
Which is actually really tragic.
Very. Well, what I was kind of noticing was that Hope was almost kind of representative of his conscience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like she would remind him
what's right,
what's right, and what's wrong.
Yeah.
And I was also wanted to kind of compare. I know we're going to talk about Coulson here in a little bit, but it feels like the characters that have some kind of an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
To the real world through their subconscious, I guess.
Okay.
And we saw that, Coulson's was the phrase, it's a magical place.
Yeah.
It seems that the memory of Hope or the hope of Hope, but the wish of what Hope could have been was Mac's anchor.
Yeah.
Tethering him to what he really is.
Well, I mean, Hope is more than just the name of his daughter. I mean, it's a metaphorical term of hope. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even metaphorical because it's the same word,
it's
but
literal.
It's a literal. I like the idea that you just presented as an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Because Coulson's anchor, as you put it, with the whole Tahiti protocol and stuff, I think that's a little bit different. It's an anchor, but it's not kind of the same thing because it's like what Daisy said, I think it was this week, that, you're probably just kind of remembering some stuff from the Tahiti protocol because they messed with your brain. And his brain's just been messed with enough that, he's probably got these weird little pockets of information and I think I mentioned this last week where the framework, it can't take hold because it's already been rewritten once by the Tahiti protocol.
Almost like a memory scar or something.
Right, right. Where something couldn't take hold and so the old memories are stuck in these weird pockets and they come out in the weirdest ways and stuff like this. But with Hope, like you say, it's like the memory of Hope or the potential of Hope and what she could have been. But where's his wife now? I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of room to speculate on so many things because I don't know that we're going to ever get any answers, but What did you have any thoughts about that? That was one of the first things that kind of came into my head. It's like, oh, I would expect a, you know, a woman to be around,
right.
wife to be around.
It stood out to me that she wasn't there, but I don't think they ever said anything about her. They didn't say whether she was there, she wasn't there, living, dead. It didn't say.
Right.
But it felt very much like that she was probably no longer living.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because of their situation and how those two were kind of living their lives, and he was taking care of her and he would watch movies with her and take her to the bus, you know, things like that. So it just felt like she wasn't alive, but I'm not sure. And maybe it was just from a writing standpoint, not to confuse who this extra character might have been, because we never saw her in the real world either.
Right, right.
It was just something that he
I've written a little backstory for her in here, just due to the way that Mac was behaving and the fact that I don't think she was an inhuman, because I think that would have been – that might be a little too out there for the Mac storyline. Right.
Yes.
But
well, also because he would have been under suspicion. Well, Hope would have been under suspicion.
Yes. Right. And so they're not being looked at, though. I will say I'm not sure how they became how they got, you know, being looked at. Well, I guess if they were tracking the drone or something like that.
Well, no. I mean, Ada knows who's connected to the framework.
Oh, well.
So I would suspect that Ada would be.
Yeah, of course. Right.
Right. That's what I would think.
Okay,
I mean,
right.
She knows they're there, so.
So she's, again, like if Radcliffe says later, she's manipulating the framework this entire time, so she's moving stuff in on that. But what if the wife was killed by Hydra in some fashion for maybe she was – she protested them or something like that and was taken away. And maybe when Hope was little, right. Maybe Hope doesn't remember her or something like that. But that's why Mac is like always just so adamant. You got to keep our heads down. We just do what they say, because he's already seen, or he thinks he's seen, he's experienced, right. The memory is in his head that when you don't comply, you know, this is what happens. So
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I kind of like that idea. And it would go to explain why Mac is the way he is. So
right. Sparkplug, his daughter, that's his nickname. It's great. I love that they keep having Mac make these names. Well, what was his name for Lincoln? Did he call Lincoln Sparkplug? But he had another name for him, right?
Yeah, something electric. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Now that you mentioned that, I hadn't thought about it for a long time.
But. Yeah, I hadn't either until just now. So, May has her people. However she really knows about this, but that's a good point about Ada, because Ada could, as Madam Hydra, could be providing that information and everything for them. Sends May in, and they take Mac and Hope hostage to bring him in to play out what turns out to be a larger, like a dumb show, basically, right? You know, in terms of a farce, right? They're bringing these characters in to investigate them and kind of tricking Daisy into going in to interrogate them and stuff like this. But it's really a trap that she's that May. And I guess Ada, Madam Hydra, has set for Daisy. I found it really telling here that May says that just because Hope is a kid, it doesn't mean that she's innocent. Obviously, very strongly hearkening back to the inhuman girl from Bahrain, where May saved the life of this girl, but then she comes over and is responsible for the Cambridge incident, which we found out about last week. So May, you know, has come to this hard realization. She's a very hardened character. Her regrets are entirely different. Her one regret was fixed, but now she's got entirely different regrets framework.
Let me say something about, because I had a thought as we were talking about, like, as I was thinking about what each of these characters anchor to the real world could be.
Yeah.
I started thinking about May. Now, she's got a lot of differences between the others, is that she has been there a lot longer.
Right.
But if her anchor is that memory of the incident in Bahrain, which clearly we know has changed who she is as a person. I mean, that's been an ongoing storyline since the beginning of the
series.
That's
May's defining characteristic in the series.
Right. But the framework has taken that anchor and warped it.
Okay.
And seemingly fixed it at first, right? Because she was very happy about it. We saw her when they first set up this version of the framework.
Yeah.
And now it's warped into something that's an entirely different reality. The other characters, they went into the framework. It was already different for them because of the way the framework had evolved through May's memories and experiences by the time they got there.
Right.
But for her, it happened kind of while she was in the framework. So
right.
That might be why she is so fixed or stuck right now, because of her anchor is almost broken.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I was just trying to think of these connections that they all seem to have.
Yeah.
And May's the one different person that
right. And like you say, she's been there the longest, so she's potentially the most damaged by whatever's going on. Because if they, as Radcliffe had pointed out at the end of the LMD storyline, they had to keep rebooting the framework because every time someone's regret was fixed, it changed something in the framework. So Ada had to keep rebooting it, and he's like, don't do that when I'm in there because you could cause catastrophic harm to me or something like that. So that, is a really strong indicator of what we may see happening to Agent May here.
Yeah.
So.
Scary.
I also thought it was interesting with, I call it Mac's turn, basically his revelation that I do know Daisy Johnson and stuff like that. It mirrored Coulson's turn last week. So as an audience member, it was one of those things that it's like, oh, yeah, it's like I bought it that this is how he was coming to the realization. It like something sparked in him, or it seemed like he always knew
right
who Daisy was. And then, of course, as you go on, you're like, all of a sudden you realize that, no, he's lying. He doesn't know what any of these words that he's saying mean. It was just a trick that May put in place to implicate Daisy, and she walks right into it.
But yeah, and
who would expect that? So
it was interesting. I couldn't decide if Mac had started remembering, or if he just, as a character in the framework, wanted to become a better person. Because it didn't.
Yeah, I did feel there was some memory coming through on him, but it wasn't until after he got Daisy in trouble. It was like that moment afterwards. He's like, oh, wait a second. I realize what I've done. He does want to be a better person, but I think there's also that sparkle of,
I think it's there. I think it's there for all of them. I think it's even going to be there for May. She's just going to be the hardest one to get through. And you're right. I think,
You think May is going to be the hardest one to get through to?
Yeah, I do. Maybe Fitz, but
Okay. I want to talk about Fitz next. I think there's some stuff with him there. So.
Oh, for sure, for sure. So anyway,
he's got a couple issues, but
they did so much foreshadowing with Hope, talking about the Inhumans and do we hate the Inhumans or why are we doing this? And then that whole scene with the bus when they're waiting for the bus stop, which was so tense. I mean, it was scary. I was so scared for that child. During that scene,
this actress that they got, I don't know how old she is, if she's older and is just playing young, but she looks like she's like 9 or 10.
Jordan Rivera is her name.
Okay. And, but she just was able to, nail these scenes with Mac, and just, like you said, yeah, I felt a tension for her, but she, they played her really well. I mean, there was it's supposed to be the smart, almost precocious kid, you can believe is Mac's daughter. And, she was going toe to toe with these people and stuff like that. And, when she like goes, oh my gosh, Sky, at the end after they've beaten up Sky and they bring her around the corner and stuff like that, it's like, it's kind of heartbreaking. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. The whole episode was very tense and entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I think that's how the rest of the season is going to go. It's not conducive to watching this show like late at night and then, okay, now it's over. It's time to go to bed because it's late. You know, it's just, it just kind of winds me up and everything like that. Anything else you want to say about Mac before I move on here?
Let's see. So as far as Mac goes, he, a lot like Coulson.
Yeah.
I wanted to compare him to Coulson. He just, as he's in the framework, there's just something he feels isn't right, you know, and they showed like his pondering the ethicality. Is that a word?
Ethnicity? No.
The ethics of right. Hydra. I think his following the rules mm-hmm. of Hydra and kind of keeping under it's symbolism, you know, of the name Hope and him trying to keep her, I want to say
alive.
Consciously alive.
Yeah.
Because she's dead in the real world. I think that's kind of how that.
Interesting. Yeah.
Anyway, so.
I think there's probably some symbolism there in the fact that, you know, he's trying to not make waves. He wants to follow the rules and everything like that. Plus, you know, he and Hope are people of color in this very white authoritarian regime. I think there's definitely some interpretation you can read into that. Racism and you know, just the plight of African Americans and stuff like that. I don't know. It's not my, that's not my experience. And so that's what I'm inferring, I guess, by what's in there. But, you know, who knows, maybe some of the listeners out there have thoughts about this this may be more relatable to other people other than me, because while this seems scary, I don't see this in my day-to-day life as a white male.
Sure. Well, and I think traditionally this type of storyline in Marvel Comics with the Inhumans here and what, you know, we've seen with like mutants.
Yeah, like the X-Men comics, and stuff like that, yeah.
Is so symbolic of just oppression mm-hmm. of any group
right.
of individuals.
Right.
Basically
the minorities of...
Sure,
wherever,
sure.
Right.
And whether present day or, you know, Nazi Germany or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
And I think it's always been not just a metaphor of that, but also a lesson to be learned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they've used it so often in the comics.
So Fitz is a monster. I really don't know.
And not like the good kind in Monsters, Inc.
No, not like Sully.
Yeah, or not like you know, the Muppets.
Right. Not like Sweetums.
No.
He is seriously scary. And the coldness and the apparent, I'm going to say apparent here, mm-hmm. lack of morals, ethics, you know, the calculating callousness of his character and stuff like
yes.
that. So what we got more from him this week, you know, continuing down this path that he's this doctor who, you know, operates on Inhumans and is apparently basically the number two man after Madame Hydra.
Yep.
So it looks like it goes Madame Hydra, which is Ada, right? Which makes sense, right? She's kind of controlling the framework and everything like that. You then have Fitz because Ada had been showing, in the LMD arc, she had been showing interest, you know, love interest kind of whatever at Fitz. And
curiosity,
then,
I would say.
Yeah, more than that, because, you know, she took Agnes's necklace
uh-huh.
and stuff like that. So it was kind of like, I mean, there was that, you know, almost wanting to replace this character, you know, kind of that fatal attraction sort of vibe that I was getting.
But do you think it was directed towards Fitz or just at a relationship in general? Or?
I think, the word I'm looking for is infatuation. She had become infatuated with Fitz and attracted to him in some fashion, in whatever way an artificial intelligence, robotic kind of thing could become infatuated. But, he's really smart. He helped create her. There's probably some kind of... Pygmalion complex or something like that, going on with it. I don't know. But I feel that that's why, he's where he is, because she's got this infatuation and has put him in a place to fulfill that within her.
So I have a theory. Now, remember I was talking about the anchors.
Yeah.
And I have a theory about what Fitz's anchor is.
Okay.
So
it's a literal anchor that pulls him under.
That's right. He's just a big chain, like the kind they use on cruise ships.
The big one, like the Love Boat.
So he mentioned something in this that made me think this was his anchors, because he told Ada that I'd cross the universe for you.
Yep, I knew you were going there. Yep.
And so,
which is basically the same thing he had told Simmons.
It's not even basically. It's exactly the same thing.
Well, what's what Simmons said he had said to her, or what she, how she did? Oh, in the episode when he actually said it.
Yeah,
because Simmons described it in this episode as well. So I didn't know if it was the exact same words.
I believe it is the exact same words that he had said
from Maveth. One episode
when he actually literally did cross the universe for her.
Yeah.
And so I think his. That's his anchor, is that memory of the love and doing things. But Ada has replaced herself with Simmons, or Simmons with
Simmons
herself.
With herself, right.
So she's turned herself into the anchor for Fitz.
Yeah.
And so now he is, he's not intimidated by her as a boss or as Madame Hydra or as, any kind of superior kind of character.
Right.
He's got this connection. It's weird though. I don't get the love connection or the infatuation connection from Fitz to Ada. I don't get.
No, it's like just compliance, because it's like it feels like he was programmed to do this. But here's the thing, like you said, that was the line that I've really that struck on me as well. And like you said, that Ada replaced Simmons with herself. So everything he's feeling is real as far as he's concerned.
Uh-huh.
It's just that the object of that direction has been replaced with something else. And that's the one thing he just didn't realize is there, because I have all these feelings towards this person. Yes, you do, except it's not that person, it's this person.
Yes, he would do anything for Simmons in the real world.
Yeah,
he really would, and has.
Right.
And so he still has it. I will do anything for you. I will do this. I will do whatever is necessary. I'll just. But it's Ada, and so he'll do whatever's necessary for her. So in a warped way, he's still doing the things that he would normally do.
Right. And because he says at one point, he's like, you're saying I'm not myself, that I'm a little bit off. And, right before he shoots Agnes, other than that element of it, the fact that he kind of murders this person in cold blood, which my questions are, how is Fitz going to come back from this? And I know I've talked to some people that, this is an imaginary storyline. It doesn't matter, whatever. It's like, but the consequences for Fitz and for Daisy and for Coulson are real. If he kills somebody, when he comes out of it, he's going to remember that. I mean, I don't think they don't remember this.
Oh, no, I think they will remember it. And can I also point out that the individual he killed was not a digital character.
Right.
It was Agnes's consciousness.
Right. Yeah, it was the last shred of Agnes as Radcliffe is the last shred of Radcliffe.
Hmm. Now that their bodies are dead.
Yeah, no, it's getting really complex there. So what was interesting also is that we know that Ada's character in the framework is called Madame Hydra, which we talked a little bit about last week. Just this, it's a classic Marvel character.
They actually said it out loud this week.
Yes.
Ward did.
Yes, he did. Right. Fitz refers to her as Ophelia. So I guess her full name would be Ophelia Hydra. I don't know.
Madam Ophelia Hydra.
Madam Ophelia Hydra.
Madam Dr. Ophelia.
Madam O'Hydra. Right. That's why she wears green, because she's Irish.
Oh, Irish. Of course, yeah.
But, of course, the name Ophelia, at least to me, it's a character name that really harkens back to Hamlet. Mm-hmm. For those of you that slept through English, you know, whatever, 201 or mm-hmm. whatever.
And rented the...
rented the Kenneth Branagh movie?
Oh, Kenneth Branagh, sure. Or Mel Gibson.
Oh, God, the Mel Gibson one. So, all right. Well, no, maybe he did direct the Mel Gibson one. I don't remember. But so Ophelia was Hamlet's love interest. And in the story, Ophelia goes mad and basically kills herself. She drowns herself, which I'm wondering, given... You know, Aida's already, quote unquote, crazy. I mean, if we're talking about level of psychopathic artificial intelligences, you know, it might be the Terminator, and then Aida, and then Hal from 2001 or something like that. So she's right up there with, you know, other robotic creatures that have, Chopping Mall, for example, that have gone crazy. So, I feel that this episode had a lot of literary allusions to it. So I can't imagine that the Ophelia, them calling her or having Fitz call her Ophelia is nothing less than a foreshadowing of something that's going to happen with this character.
Yeah. And you know what, now that you kind of say all that and lay it out for me, I agree with you on the infatuation love thing, because that fits that symbol perfectly.
Yeah, yeah. And Fitz might be Danish, too. I don't know. He's not a prince, but...
And she mentions very clearly that she does not want to be called Aida. So her name is Ophelia.
Well, she never... Yeah, she just said she doesn't want to be called by that name anymore. You know, very emphatically. And I was hoping we were going to get a little bit more from that. But also her discussions of, you know, trying to... this part bothered me just a little bit, because all it would have taken for Radcliffe or one of the other characters to point out that, by the way, in the real world, you're a robot or, you know, a cyborg or whatever, you know, which android, I guess. But she kept saying, you know, they wanted to control me. They, you know, kept me like a prisoner and treated me less than human. 'Cause you are a robot, you know.
But it's
that artificial intelligence. You know, it's like we were discussing this all through the LMD arc,
sure.
Right? You know, it's like what is real?
And of course that's always a topic of conversation. We're talking about artificial intelligence, but. Also, Radcliffe is an absolute horrible debater. His main way of getting things across to people is, you've got to listen to me. That was a horrible Radcliffe impression.
Not too bad. So.
I mean, you got to listen to me is his first line of defense.
Well, and then as soon as somebody doesn't listen to him and then like kills his girlfriend, it's like, all right, I'll give you what you want. It's like horrible. You're a horrible poker player.
Awful.
Yeah. Well, so you're talking about anchors and stuff like that. So I was also thinking that, you know, so Gemma believes that Fitz is still Fitz. She is very much still in love with him and, you know, begs Ward not to kill him, because then that would erase the only man that she loves, right?
Right. So,
but Fitz doesn't seem to recognize Simmons at all. But I put a little, or does he? Note here, because I feel again, I felt with all the characters, with the exception of maybe May, because I still haven't really seen this in May, but I feel like all the characters have a little something, right? There's some little glimmer or second look that they do that maybe they are remembering something, and they don't, you know, it's just one of those things that. You get some like deja vu and you shake it off. It's that, you know, but that they're experiencing something that they don't really
No.
Understand.
I haven't seen it really in May either. Every once in a while, they give kind of this glimmer that she's either got some regret about what she did or she's maybe not going to do what you think a bad guy Hydra agent would do.
Yeah.
And then she goes and does it anyway and does something really evil, like beats the crud out of Daisy when she's getting caught or has them catch her.
Well, and Daisy keeps going, it's like, did you know about this? Like, she's talking to her like she's May still. And I'm like, why are you doing that? You know, so. But my thought was kind of like, just the closer characters were to Madame Hydra, the more they were under her sway. That was my initial thought. But, I mean, I really like what you had discussed there with the fact that, you know, the way that Fitz was kind of held under it. But, you know, Fitz seems to be more of a control because he's number two than May does. And, you know, May's under pretty serious control. But then you've got people like Mace, Jeffrey Mace, who's with the Resistance, and he doesn't, you know, I mean, he's running his own little thing and he's oblivious, but it seems like they might be able to, you know, get him to recognize it relatively soon if they realize, and I can't remember if they know that Mace is in the framework or not.
See, I don't know that they do know that. All they know is that he was captured.
Yeah.
So they may not have any idea.
And they may think he's just one of the AIs,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, right. Yeah. Why not? Everybody else is in there. So,
yeah.
He's kind of an interesting case, too, because he was put in the framework at a completely different time than everybody else. The team was put in there recently. May was put in there a long time ago, and he was put in there in between, although, I mean, much closer to when they were, obviously. But,
right.
So, because it's interesting that he is running S.H.I.E.L.D. He is, because he's not so much opposite of the character. He's about the only one in there that isn't opposite of what. So maybe they didn't have time to reprogram him or I don't know. I mean, they put him in there.
Well, he still doesn't really like the name of the Patriot. I mean, he feels that's a little overblown. You know,
he's a little bit opposite.
Yeah.
But maybe he's not in there. Maybe that's not the real Mace. It's possible. I haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen anything suggest that. But of course, it would be just like them to pull a switch like that. So, well, so what we talked about at the beginning was that Coulson, you know, is you know, he's remembering a little bit of who he is, but he's still very much within the framework. Obviously, he's been eating the soap. as opposed to drinking the Kool-Aid, I guess. But he's hanging out with the Resistance, and I completely saw the real Coulson emerge at the end of the episode, where Gemma is going off crying because, you know, Fitz appears to be lost, and he's like, she needs a minute. And they're like, no, we need to get the answers from her right now. And he's like, give her a minute, guys. And then he, you know, you finally see him just, like, step up, and it's like, you know, just back off. And
so
that's Phil.
The moment that he is kind of back is a real Coulson. Did you see that moment?
Which one is that?
It was when he shot the gun and he looked at it.
Yeah.
Wow. Or I can't remember exactly. What
right.
He said,
yeah. He was pretty impressed that he could do that.
So it was like that moment of realization. Now, the other thing I noticed that as soon as Mac betrayed Daisy.
Yeah.
That was his moment of realization. You know, as soon as he saw her get taken away or found out what happened or, you know. Interestingly, with Fitz, after he shots Agnes, that may have been not his moment of realization, but his...
But a trigger, at least.
Well, or a trigger, or that was kind of a... you know,
sorry, man. I didn't intend it that way. Yeah. Sometimes I do, but not this time.
No, that might be... the other way, that might be his downfall, where he has kind of cemented his personality into place.
Going the other way.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I also thought it was interesting. With Coulson, his adoration of the Patriot really mirrors his love for Captain America, someone who probably may never have been found in this world. We don't really know about the Avengers, but... just doing a little research here before the show started, we discovered something kind of interesting from one of the screenshots I've got.
Right.
So we find out more about the Cambridge incident, which there's a newspaper article that Coulson holds up to the camera. Has everybody here look? This is what it is here. And we find out that 279 people died by this inhuman attack. At least that's what the headline proclaims, and that's really all you have time to see in the episode. But on closer inspection of the text, it's not just garbage. There's actually a story there, and we were trying to read what it said, and it indicated that, you know, just like we thought that Katya came over, she used her inhuman powers to force all these people to kill themselves and kill other people, and she was using the teachers and the students to hold off the cops and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it says the National Guard and the Avengers were brought in, but they were ineffective in some fashion, and basically that the Hydra security force was the one that came in and had to take over. So we still may have had the Avengers of some fashion in the framework, but there was never a shield. The Hydra, has always kind of been in control, at least. So,
well, there was a shield at one point.
Oh, there was a shield at one point, but not. It seems like it would have been. Was definitely. It fell before the. Probably before the beginning of the series, like
yes.
chronologically or something
yeah,
like
and,
that.
Well, before, right around the Bahrain time, or before. Because it says that when they brought this little girl over, Hydra stepped in.
Right.
So
right.
even though that was kind of like the trigger we were thinking, event in May's life might have got Hydra into power. It sounds like they might have had some power before that.
Yeah, a little bit. So anyway, Coulson seems to be mostly back, and I feel like each episode we're probably going to be getting a little bit more of his personality back. Mm-hmm. But obviously now we're in trouble because Daisy's been captured, but we got Mac. Mac has come to the fold, but he doesn't necessarily remember who he is. But we've got Mac, Coulson, and Jeffrey Mace on the same place. And then May and Fitz have got Daisy captured. So we've obviously got a work our way out of this. But at some point, as I indicated at the beginning of the episode, we're going to get all of our good guys back into one place. They now know where the bodies are being held. So if Daisy and Gemma can at least find a way back, they can find a way in the real world to get to where the bodies are. Radcliffe tells them it's on this drilling platform in the Baltic. It's the Russian superior.
Right.
Who's now just a head in a jar, remember?
But still alive.
There's got to be more they're going to do there, too. I feel like, maybe we are going to get out of the framework here relatively soon, and we'll have to do some stuff in the real world, or some of the characters will get out and have to rescue.
Or we've set people. Up a bad guy for season five,
yeah. But my question is, okay, so Radcliffe says, I had a way out. But Ada knows I'm here now, which is because she's keeping him on this island.
Right.
So it's basically a gilded cage is how he describes it. So his way is closed, and she says, you just got to go back the way you came. And they're like, we can't. She's closed that off. So do you have any thoughts about how our team or some of our team is going to escape?
No, I'm not as clever as they are, but...
of course you are.
But
I'm not as clever as they are, but I figured it out. All the clues are right in this episode.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
I can't wait to be filled in. I'm not sure how they can change anything unless they are able to manipulate the framework somehow. And so if there's a... this kind of blows my mind when I think about stuff like this, but because the framework is an exact copy of the real world, is there a computer terminal set up in the framework that you could use to manipulate the actual framework?
There probably is, which is very weird to think about. But how about this? Follow me on this adventure here. So Ada is working on a project with Fitz. They talk about at the beginning of the episode. She tells him that they need to continue working on Project Looking Glass. Project Looking Glass very much seems like it is an allusion to Alice through the Looking Glass, right? You know, the Adventures of Alice in Wonderland and stuff like that. So what it seems like what they're saying is that would be the way for them to, you know, go back through the Looking Glass to get back to the real world. For whatever reason, she wants to go back to the real world.
So Ada's going to make this for him, and then they'll
right.
have to use it.
So, Fitz is making it for them, and at what point is this portal going to be ready that will allow them to, take their consciences and step out in the real world? I'm not sure what the whole point of that is, but because she needs to get out, but again, like we also speculated, this could be an instance of Ada running in the framework, and there's still the Ada outside that is, again, independent and separate.
Which I think we may have even talked about last week, how there was a copy of Ada. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a separate Ada.
2.5 or something like that.
So, we got Ada versus Ada.
Yeah. So a lot of questions, and I mean, I have,
we're going to find the answers.
Well, they can do, what's great is right now, they can pretty much do anything they want because you can justify so many things because, well, we're in a framework or, you know, like, we end the episode with Fitz, Daisy says, you know, you don't want to do this. And he's like, no, I'm pretty sure I do want to do this, you know, and very evil.
He just needed a little mustache to twirl.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
But, you know, they've discovered that she's potentially an inhuman, but we also know she doesn't have powers in the framework. We hear that there are inhumans in the framework that have powers, but we have not seen anything yet. So is it possible for this digital recreation of Daisy to gain her powers in the framework and use superhero powers, you know, a la Neo in the Matrix?
Uh-huh. I don't see why not. It's a digital creation. If they can find some way to manipulate it. I don't think it is so much of a question of Matrix is not an example, but you can control your dreams. If you realize you're dreaming, you can control your dreams.
No,
it's not. Oh, well, guess what? It's that simple.
Yeah.
But because it's not a part of their consciousness.
Right.
They're actually just within that. How Neo controlled the Matrix, I don't know.
Well, that's kind of. I mean, right, we're going to another level there because there's a lot of more allegory and stuff in the Matrix and stuff than I think we're getting here. But so
and a lot more Keanu Reeves. But
yeah, whoa. So I don't know. And I really don't have any idea how Daisy's going to get out of there, unless they kind of, send in a S.H.I.E.L.D. team, part of the Resistance team or something like that. Unless May is going to be the next one to kind of snap out of it, maybe there's something that's already happened that we just kind of didn't notice, and she is remembering.
There'll be an opportunity for either her to escape or the team to go in and get her.
Yeah, I think so.
But I don't. Yeah, which I don't know. I guess obviously their intention is not to kill her
right
away,
right.
Just to torture her for a long time, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think I saw the preview for the next episode, but honestly, for life of me, I do not recall what they were doing in it because it was late and I was packing for our trip here. So, it's very interesting that we are in Orlando because our feedback this week is from Andrew from Orlando.
Hi, Andrew. He's not in the room with us, but yeah, I figured
that would be weird. That would be weird, I would say. He says, hello, gentlemen. The return episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was amazing. Really got me pumped up again for the show as it has dragged out a bit, which That's an interesting take. I've heard some people that did not, you know, care for like the Ghost Rider storyline, but I think it's been moving along pretty well. I mean, seven episode arcs. That's not too bad.
I've enjoyed it, but I've also heard of some people that haven't enjoyed the framework idea. Being dragged out too long, too.
Yeah. It was shocking and super exciting to hear that sweet new intro. Oh, our sweet new intro, I guess, that we put on here. That's so cool you guys put that together and really made it sound fantastic. Well, thanks very much, Andrew. And so you had asked a question, I think, about what are potential comic strips in the framework?
Right.
Like, how would the comic strips in the newspaper be different? Because it's the one Hydra newspaper now. There's not the 1,500 newspapers anymore, right?
Right. No cell phones. So you got one thing to read.
One thing to read,
Hydra
right.
World.
So Andrew says, I think that the comic strips for the newspaper would all be the same. You know, Calvin and Hobbes. Susie sees Calvin talking to a stuffed tiger and reports him as a subversive.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
Good Peanuts.
Comic.
Right. Lucy moves the football on Charlie Brown. He reports her as a subversive.
Well, because that's against the Hydra rules.
And Family Circle. Cut to mother saying, Billy, this is why we don't fight with our family members so they don't report us as subversives. You know, instills fear in acting out.
There
right?
you go.
So That's great. It's a very
really good example.
You can tell they were all written by the same writer.
Hydra?
Yeah.
Probably a computer in Hydra.
It's,
who is the German?
The German scientist, Arnon Zola.
He writes all – that's his job now. He writes the comics for the Hydra newspaper.
So we got surprisingly, now that I've looked through this list, we got quite a number of references here. So the first one, I think I texted you immediately when I saw this on the episode, but Radcliffe's private island, Ogygia – excuse me, Ogygia – no, it still sounds the same. Was filmed at the Los Angeles County Arboretum and Botanic Garden. So that probably doesn't mean anything to anybody that is under maybe 35.
You're going to have to go up to 40.
But it's the same location that they used as in the 1970s TV show Fantasy Island. And what I thought was really funny, amusing about this as an Easter egg is, of course, because this island is off Bermuda and it's not supposed to exist. It is, in fact, in the framework, right? So it is a fantasy island. So
smiles, everyone. Smiles.
Yes.
The blame of the blame.
Okay, so, and then Ogygia, which is the name of the island, which seemed... I'd like heard that name before, and I was thinking it was like a small like rodent or something like that. But then I realized that was the capybara. But Ogygia is an island mentioned in the Odyssey, Homer's Odyssey. And it was the home of Calypso, who imprisoned Odysseus for 7 years. So very much like Radcliffe's been in prison. Again, this is the literary references that are popping up in here. So, you know, we've got references to Hamlet, references to the Odyssey, references to potentially Alice in Wonderland here with the Project Looking Glass that I already mentioned.
Oh, right, right.
Ada talks about how her name is indeed an acronym. I think we had speculated on this as early as the end of last season when we found out about her. And she does confirm that the A stands for artificial. I'm guessing the I stands for intelligence, artificial intelligence, and I have no idea what the DA stands for then. So
maybe there's just another artificial in there just to nail the point home.
Yeah. Who knows? Billy Koenig got name dropped. He was the one that found the location of the SSR base that Mace and his operatives are using.
He also got personally dropped. He's no longer with us.
Yes, he is. Something happened to him. There was a quote about the Rebel Alliance aesthetic that they had going on in the base, very much a Star Wars reference, I would guess there.
Something Coulson would say.
Yep. There was a quote by Fitz where he said he wants to, quote, make our society great again. Sounds like a very famous quote from the current president of the United States. So... Hope's favorite video appears to be Chopping Mall, which, of course, is one of Mac's favorite films in the real world that he and Yo-Yo were talking about at one point during the LMD storyline.
Right.
So I'm wondering if any of that stuff's going to come through. And then Daisy's little fight in the elevator, I believe, was a brief, very, very brief homage to the fight in the Hydra elevator in Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Yes, so, where he took them out very similarly.
Yeah. Hey, does anybody want to get off? So, or before we begin, does anyone want to get off? So anyway, really interesting episode. I am enjoying the current arc here. I really don't know where it's going to take us. And my concerns, like I said earlier, are for the characters, because, you know, like, I don't know if Fitz can come back from killing somebody. We're now talking a different redemption arc for Fitz. I mean, something I never thought we'd be talking about. You know, we've talked about all the changes with Ward and stuff like that, and how they potentially can use Ward as more of a heroic character. And it's as weird for the characters on the show as it is for us, I think, you know, seeing him as, you know, as a caring individual. Really, you know, he would do anything, as he says, for Sky. Fitz is, I mean, they're really pushing the character way out there. That
I think it's a really good example of quality writing when you write a character that you wonder what's going to happen, you know. And because, I mean, that would really be hard to come back from.
Yeah.
What he's, I mean, it's hard for me to come back if, you know, I don't tuck my shirt in right at the beginning of the day, and then the rest of the day it just doesn't feel right. I can't even handle that. So I don't know how I would.
Yeah.
You know, that's, of course, I'm.
That's tough, Josh. Yeah, that's really tough.
First world problems.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, first world Josh problems right there. So
that's right.
All right. Well, you know, this is all we've got for this week's special episode of Agents of Hydra Case Files, live from Orlando, Florida.
Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I know I enjoyed being here with you, which is a rare treat to get to record in the same room.
My pleasure.
And we would love to have some feedback from you guys. Please log on to iTunes real quickly and write a quick review for people so they can find us. Or if you want to write a quick note to us and just tell us what you have to say, like Andrew did. So, and we'll see you later, Andrew. He's still not in the room, but our email is hydra@randomchatter.com, or you can head over to Twitter, find us at Agents Podcast, or you can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/agentspodcast.
And you can also check out the other shows Josh and I podcast about. We'll be coming back with these, I think, the end of April here, if I'm not mistaken. Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, both via randomchatter.com. And the shows are also available in the iTunes Store, as you probably already knew, and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. If you're listening to this at a convention, you know, just watch out for your neighbor. Make sure that they are not subversives. We would appreciate you reporting anybody that you do find. So, for Agents of Hydra Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Bidding you all, Hail Hydra. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.